come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Good afternoon and happy Halloween, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Jeff Eagles, John Schmelk, happy Halloween, everybody. We're in the spirit. We got the Eli Manning pumpkin rocking the set today.
Love
I had
it,
a choice of
right?
like three or four different giant pumpkins, but I thought the Eli one was so good that I had to use it.
It looks
I
just think, like him.
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
He's
scary, isn't he?
It's fantastic. I hope you like Jeff and I costumes. Jeff decided to dress up like Schmelk. Schmelk decided to dress up like Jeff.
Yeah. And we went to the same barber. So it's all good.
Costumes are uncanny, really. Now,
yeah,
the Giants.
Really, this was, you know, this was always a fun day when you were back in, you know, you're little, well, when you have kids, too.
Well, how about like Diossi and stuff used to do in the locker room for Halloween when you guys, when you were still playing like 07, 08, 09?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun day. You get to wear your uniform if you want to, whatever you want to do. But these kids, the young kids, are fun. You know, trying to.
You're good.
Oh,
keep talking.
I thought you were lifting
directions.
Me up a little bit. Brian, what's up with you? Huh? No, I'm just saying it was a fun Friday. Fridays were fun on Halloween, the Friday before Halloween at school. And those for those of you watching the show and have kids, you know what I'm talking about. So it's a good day. And tomorrow is Halloween and Sunday is game day. And we got this team.
And I guess it's apropos that on Halloween, the Giants get to travel to their very own House of Horrors down in New Orleans.
That it is. I've been a part of the House of Horrors down there
and
before.
And I was talking to David Dee on Wednesday. He's been at a fair share of those games as well. Now, technically, the Giants did beat the Saints in a home game after Hurricane Katrina, but that game was up here. In East Rutherford, so that really doesn't count. But the Giants have not, Jeff, had a whole lot of luck down there in New Orleans, and a lot of it has to do with the Saints and Drew Brees and their tremendous offense. And they've scored a lot of points against the Giants down there, and they head into this game with, again, one of the better offenses in the league. And now Drew Brees physically might not be the same guy he was 3 or 4 years ago, but he's making better decisions this year than he has in the last couple years when he threw a lot of interceptions. And the Saints offense really seems to be hitting on all cylinders.
Well, you never can discount Drew Brees. I mean, the guy's questionably, I think he's in a Hall of Famer. I mean, the guy has a lot of NFL records.
He will be.
So, and this Saints team, John, is really there. They've won, you know, two in a row. And their defense isn't that great, which kind of, I think, give the Giants a chance to win this game, especially if they can run the football. And we'll probably get into all that sooner or later today. But I think that, so, you know, one the difficult to play down there is the noise. But I look back, I say, you know, the Giants, they seem to do fine with noise. They've got this audible system on their offenses out there when they run the no huddle. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem, but that place gets loud. I mean, folks, let me tell you, it really does, and it can give teams problems if they don't have good communication to line of scrimmage.
We'll talk about it. You know, you're a guy that's played there. We'll start with that side of the ball first then. The noise, the offensive line getting off the ball against their pass rushers, specifically Cameron Jordan, who's one of the best pass rushers in the league. Pro Football Focus, I believe, has him as their highest-ranked defensive end. I can get the number for you right now when they do their rankings.
And you wonder where he's going to line up. I mean, typically he would be probably on Ereck Flowers. But
they might move him around the same way the Cowboys did. Here we go. Cameron Jordan, Pro Football Focus's highest-rated 4-3 defensive end this season with a grade of just under 30. The number's not important. He leads his position group in total pressures with 37 this year.
He gets after it.
So if you go from Greg Hardy to Cameron Jordan, it doesn't get any easier.
But, did we hear much about Greg Hardy other than he missed practice after the game? On that Thursday,
part of the point, Jeff, the Giants only had 15 offensive snaps.
You're right. The second half, they only had 2 possessions. How about it? Right, that's crazy.
Isn't it amazing?
When I was looking at my notes after the game, because I do them by drives, and I was like, third quarter, 2 drives; fourth quarter,
one.
You gotta be kidding me!
It was amazing.
Thanks to the defensive turnovers that they got, but. You got to watch out for that guy. And, their defense is not the greatest, but I think that this Giants offense can, you got a healthy Reuben Randle and Odell Beckham now back out of practice. I think we got a little bit of questions from Schwartz on the offensive line, what's going to happen with him. And I know that today we'll hear more about that kind of stuff coming up.
But beat him with the ankle too.
You know,
knee rather. Excuse me.
The knee now. Yeah. So it's always something at this time of the year. Going down to New Orleans to me was always it never bothered me, but I felt that with the teams that I played, not only with the Giants and other teams, is the fact that it's New Orleans and it's a distraction. New Orleans is a distractive city in my mind.
Well,
because
on the bright side, being Halloween weekend, the distractions will be at a minimum.
A little bit. Well, it'd just be normal, right? I mean, because it's nuts.
Oh, that place is going to be an absolute
zoo. Oh, my goodness. They're already starting as we speak right now.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? But I think that guys, in particular, they want to experience New Orleans if they never have. But this is a 1 o'clock game, which in my mind is good.
And by the way, for Central Time, it's a noon game.
A noon game. There you go. So they don't have a lot of time to get distracted. And by the time they get there and turn around and have curfew, they're out on the field the next day.
I have a question. For a noon game, what's curfew usually? 11 o'clock?
It's always 11.
It's 11? Okay.
Yes, it's always 11 o'clock. With exception to, like, when we went to London, we had to stay, you know, a period of 2 or 3 days there where it's not the night before the game. It may be midnight or something like that. But it's always 11 o'clock, John. So, yeah.
All right, and I want to go through the numbers here, Jeff. You mentioned the Saints defense. And if you look at the Giants and the Saints, their numbers aren't much
aren't
very dissimilar, to be quite honest with you. Saints 30th overall, 25th. Scoring, 28th against the rush, 26th against the pass. The Giants are similar in a lot of those categories. So to me, this is the makings. I know both of us said this when the Giants faced the Eagles 2 weeks ago. We both ended up being very wrong about that. But I think this has the chance to be a pretty high scoring game.
Yeah, and look at this stat here. Their defense is fourth and third down. So they get off the field.
Well, do you know what that tells me? That means teams are probably getting a lot of their first downs on first and second down.
Sure.
Because if your third down defense is that good and you're still giving up a million points,
and
that's
all
probably
the others, are bad. That's
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, I'm so bad at picking, like, scores of games and things, but in my opinion, you're right. I think this could be a high scoring game. We were wrong on the Eagle Giant game the other day, but you know, we can't pick them all. But these teams are, you know, neither of them are setting the world on fire as far as how many points they score. What are there? Is it on here? No, we're scoring, you know, 25, 26 points a game.
Saints, the sixth ranked offense. Giants, surprisingly, offensively, have the 23rd ranked offense, but I think, you know, that's yards wise. Points, they're 11th. In the league, but I think a lot of that help had came from the one special teams touchdown and two defensive touchdowns, which has kind of pushed that up a little bit in terms
of
the score.
And two, I think both Eli and Drew Brees, they can light it up in through the air, and I think that's probably what they're going to do here. I think the Giants will try to establish their running game against this defense. Just a matter of who's going to be in there running the football.
And the Saints, we mentioned, 30th in the league running the ball. The Giants, though, are coming off their best week running the football this year. 25 rushes, 132 yards, over 5 yards per carry last week. And, by the way, the Saints are also coming off their best rushing game of the year with Mark Ingram going for more than 100 yards against the Colts, and I think it was about 4.5 yards per carry. So we'll see if these teams try to continue to run the ball, or do they start licking their chops looking at the opposing secondary. We have Super Bowl-winning Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Let's air the sucker out.
Well, I think that both teams are going to look at the game. Their game plan is what the teams have been successful at doing. And as of late, the teams have been very successful running the football against the Giants defense. So I think that that goes well for the Saints trying to run the football.
Why is that, Jeff? Why are teams had so – why did it change?
It's anomalous, right? I mean, here are the Giants at the beginning of the year. Nobody can run on them. And now everybody can run on them. Here the Giants can't run the football, and finally this week the Giants get running. The last 2 weeks, actually, their running game has improved.
Is it something that opposing teams have seen on tape on the Giants defense that they're taking advantage of, or guys not physically making the plays they used to? Is it the fact that some guys have been in and out of the lineup? What do you put your finger on of why we've seen that deterioration the last 2.5 games?
In my mind, we've talked about this in the reverse, where you always say, you know, you run the football to set up the pass.
Yeah.
I think these teams are setting the pass. They're passing the football to set up the run.
So you're thinking they're forcing the Giants two safeties deep. They only have 7 guys in the box, and that's when you're running the football.
That's in my opinion, that's it. I can't tell you that, you know, the effort's not there by this team. I think this team, the effort is there every week, but I think schematically these offensive coordinators, you know, they're just so good, and they play this chess match, but they go in with game plans and they look and see what has been successful the prior weeks, and they find out these tendencies. It's amazing.
Well, last three games, an average of 35 carries per game against this Giants defense, an average of nearly 172 yards given up per game, about 5 yards per carry,
wow.
Three touchdowns. Now, a lot of that gets weighted because the Cowboys had such an individually great game with their 230 rushing yards, whatever they had in that game. So that swings everything a far way. They did pretty well against the 49ers in the first half. Well, 35 carries per game is a lot.
It is what it is.
Right.
You know, what was it? Would you say, was it 23 before the first three or four games?
Yeah, opposed to the first four games, teams only average 22 carries per game. And you know what? If you rush the ball well, you're going to keep running it. You're going to go back to the well.
And, you know, here's the thing about this Giants defense that, you know, yeah, they're giving up a lot of yards running, but man, they are just they're getting turnovers.
And dude, Chef, and this is the thing, and I've talked to like four or five different people this week, and I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like, guys,
forget about
why
it.
Is it different this year with the takeaways? And I talk to coaches, and I talk to guys that work in the front office, and they're like, John, we focused on takeaways with Perry Fuel every week. It was one of the reasons he came here. When he was in Buffalo, the Bills were a takeaway machine. That's why we brought him in. You know, they're doing the same type of drills. It's nothing new in practice. So I got two reasons of why people think.
I'm wondering if one of them is what I'm going to say.
One is that they think these guys play so exceedingly hard and they hustle so much and get so many guys to the ball.
Love it.
That's one of the reasons they force a lot of those fumbles. Like, for example, the Cole Beasley play against Dallas in week one where he had like a 25-yard catch. And what happens? The guy flies in from behind.
And there's three other guys there.
And strips the ball.
Yeah.
So plays like that is one reason. And number two, quite frankly, a lot of it is good fortune. And a lot of times, you know, after you play Tony Romo, who threw two picks in the first game, by the way, and Matt Ryan in week two, who did not turn the ball over, I think you've probably played some quarterbacks that have seen or at least thought they saw some opportunities to make plays. They've tried to go downfield, put the ball where they shouldn't, and to the Giants' credit now, they were good enough to take advantage of those opportunities and get those turnovers. So to me, those are the two confluencing factors coming in, the hustle, the hard work, and then also some good fortune.
And I'll add a third.
What's your third?
The third is and those are two excellent, excellent points, and I think they are a means of why this is happening. The other one is I think it's Spagnuolo's defense. I think he challenges these guys both on and off the field to make plays. And wants them to understand that don't be afraid not to make a play, okay? I'd rather you see, and that kind of goes together with the effort. If you have the effort, and I think that they're making those plays.
You know, it's funny you say that, but all I heard during Perry Fuel's press conferences the last 2 years, and all I heard during Onshore Roll's media availabilities was trust what you see. If you see a play to be made,
go
make the play.
Yeah,
now,
but I think
maybe the message is getting through better now, and that is a part of leadership and a part of coaching.
That is my point. I think that's what it is. I've been on the sideline with Spagnuolo before. He's not a fun guy to be around on game day.
He gets cranky?
Yeah, he gets pissed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You're not doing your job.
You're going to hear about it.
You're going to hear about it. A lot of pressure there. I think a lot of, you know, and I don't know if that – I wasn't on the sideline with Perry Fuel. I don't know his mannerisms on just what we see on TV.
Did Steve ever get mad at you, run up to you, and slap a clipboard out of your hands?
Listen.
No.
Maybe.
No. So he gets fired up, huh?
Fired up.
All right. And by the way, you want to know how important this is, by the way?
The
takeaways and turnovers in this game. Saints, in their three wins, have one giveaway. In their four losses, they have 10.
Wow. That's probably with any team.
That'll do it.
You know?
That'll do it. Yeah, I mean, the Saints in the three wins are +5, and their four losses, they're -5. And they're even on the season.
And we beat this, you know, we beat this every time we talk about turnovers in that statistic. It's the difference between winning and losing football games, especially on the road.
And if you want to go back, I think this is since Drew Brees got there in 2006. I think that sounds like Drew Brees' first year about, right? 2006, give or take? Anyway, going back to 2006, when the Saints do not have a turnover, I'm guessing that means a giveaway, they're 32-1. And they're 32-15 when they only have one turnover. So
32-15, yeah. Isn't it amazing just one, how many more losses they have?
Well, and then you jump up to two, and it turns into 17-18.
Yeah.
So if you can figure out a way to get two takeaways in this game, and by the way, you want to know where the Giants are 4-3? They've averaged more than two takeaways per game. That's going to win you a lot of football games.
I truly believe that this is not a 4-3 football team without that ratio, those turnovers.
There's no way it happens.
There is no way. And you know what? Hey, turnovers, cost you games, and turnovers win you games. And in this factor, this is what's happening. The turnovers that the Giants are getting are winning them football games.
And by the way, we've given the defense a ton of credit, and rightfully so. They have 16 takeaways. I think that's most in the league. I'd have to double check it. But the other side of that equation is that the offense, through how many, seven games they played so far, they only have six giveaways. I mean, protecting the football on the other side is just as important. And you know what the amazing thing is, too, about the takeaways, real quick. Usually you get takeaways, Jeff. Why? In your opinion, you get takeaways in a game because your defense does what well usually?
You rush a passer.
And they're not doing that. That's why it's even more amazing to me. Anyway, but.
And you get strip fumbles and you get.
Usually when you force fumbles, it's making the quarterback fumble. It's not making skill position guys fumble. That's why the whole thing is just so weird to me. It's fantastic, and that's helping them get wins, but it's weird. Now, offensively, real quick, we'll get to your calls in a second, I promise. Offensively, protecting the football. You know, Eli's done a good job of not putting the ball in harm's way, and I know fans have complained that old Beckham maybe isn't having those explosive games that you would want.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe if Eli tries to get him those big numbers in explosive games, maybe he puts the ball in the harm's way a little bit more, and then you have some turnovers, and then some of these games can swing left to right.
And I think that there's opportunity in each game to take that shot down the field, but it has to present itself in the game.
And look, last week they hit it with Reuben Randle on the one hand to catch. The week before, when Beckham was out of bounds, they didn't hit it.
Exactly, and then Reuben Randle, great catch. I mean, it was just out of the blue. He just stuck his hand up there, and it was an amazing throw.
I'm so curious what Brandon Carr was doing on that, because he was literally in great position and great coverage right in front of him, and he stopped running
on that play either. It didn't look like he even knew the ball was coming. All of a sudden, he just looked up. Oh,
it almost looked like both guys were hand fighting. No, serious. Like both guys were hand fighting, not looking for the ball. But then Randle saw it. Carr didn't. He got that little acceleration that created the space to make the catch. It was very funny.
And I will tell you, you know, the Giants and with Eli is they can make big plays in the passing game with their short, conservative passing game.
Run after catch.
Look at what they did, Dwayne Harris. That slant that they hit on him. That was a big play. Okay, that's this offense's big play.
And the ball's only in the air, 8 yards on that?
And he's also out of his hand in less than 2 seconds.
Everything's on three steps.
So, you know, that's something that we're going to have to, where we've become getting used to. It's not like the old days when Eli used to throw that ball down the field and, you know, make big plays down the field. They just don't do that anymore.
All right, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, you can pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. And, you know, Jeff, I think I forgot earlier this week to do your recaps. We're going to do your recap and your review for your for your new picks today. No, we kind of do, actually. So we will do that a little bit later in the show. I will express through it, though. Don't worry about it.
I tell you, I got some doozers here this week.
All right, let's get to you. 201-939-4513. My man, James, my Twitter buddy down in Ecuador, is on the line. Jimmy, what's up?
Yeah, hi, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good.
Doing well, Jim.
Hey, just a couple of things. I also tweeted. I gotta believe that we gotta get this running game going somehow. And I'm not sure that we can't change the scheme a little bit.
How so?
You know, Williams. I don't know about Williams anymore. I mean, you know, he's kind of like I said before. He's got like Ron Dane syndrome. I don't know what we can do with him anymore, but how about making him a fullback and moving Whitlock, you know, and I'm talking about a package here. Move Whitlock to a tight end, a blocking tight end. You know, with his quickness, you know, he can do a good job out there. I mean, you can send him through the line as a blocking fullback, but is it doing anything different than if he was blocking on as a like a double tight end situation or something? But in any case, you know, use Williams. You know, he's an asset. You know, find a place to use him. You don't need him as a running back anymore. He's not the kind of running. We don't have the kind of offense that we're going to give him 20 carries so that he gets warmed up. That's not the kind of offense we have.
Right.
Maybe if he was in Dallas, he would do better. But I think that Williams, we've got to find a place for him this year. And as far as, you know, I'm going to throw this out there, whether anybody likes it or not, but Bill Parcells would not have Randle on his 53. And I'm going to take your responses offline. But thanks, guys. Great show. You guys do a great you know, a great job. And Jeff, always great to hear your comments.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Hear from you. Don't be a stranger. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I don't know. I think Whitlock does enough. I don't think you're going to ask him to play tight end now. You know, it would be a little bit more. But, don't give up on Andre Williams. I think that he's got a lot of talent. And with running backs, you know, these guys get hurt all the time. So it's just a matter of, you know, the rotation. I'm very curious to see what happens this week with Darqua. In my mind and everybody else's mind probably is that he earned his way into that lineup to start to at least get, you know, 10 carries for the game coming up. Because, I mean, man, I just love the way that guy plays. He's also the wing on your punt team. He's the five on the kickoff team. So he's very valuable, and I just want to see him run the football.
And I think he's right. I don't think the scheme's the problem with Andre Williams. I think we power backs can succeed in the scheme. I mean, I know Lacy's a power back, and he's had two really good years with the Packers. But I do think that it's hard for a guy like Williams whose strength is grinding yards out and wearing the defense out when you're only getting 4 or 5 carries a game.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not saying he should be getting 20. Rashad Jennings is an excellent player. Vereen's obviously very good. Darkwood showed
just
something
last
week.
It's not the way
it is. It's just a circumstance.
And he is one of those kind of like tempo players. He gets in the rhythm and gets going, but next thing you know, he's out for a series.
And James, on Randall very quickly, and Jeff, I'd like to hear your opinion on this too, and then I got a couple of Twitter questions I want to get to you real quick as well. You know, he says Parcells wouldn't have Reuben Randall on his roster. Well, here's the thing. Looking at this roster now, what are you, start Miles White? I mean, he's been here for 3 weeks.
Well,
I mean, Dwayne Harris plays so many snaps on special teams. You can't have him be your, you know, full-time starting wide receiver either. He's going to be your third guy. I mean, Reuben Randall, with Cruz out, is the second-best wide receiver on the team, like it or not.
Well, I mean, you don't like it. Obviously, he didn't like it. But, I mean, the thing that everybody forgets about Reuben Randall is that he does have game, but he just forgets to bring it every week.
Well, I think the thing is too,
and that's what drives people crazy.
His mannerisms, and Yankee fans used to complain about this with Robinson Cano when he first came up. They were like, Robinson Cano, he looks like he's not trying hard. He's lackadaisical. He doesn't run hard. Everything looks like he's nonchalanting it. That's just the way he plays in his mannerisms. Now, I'm not saying Reuben Randall's on the level of Robinson Cano, an MVP caliber baseball player. They're not obviously on that same tier, and that's fine.
Right.
But if you look at it, I mean, Randall, the numbers at the end of the year last year were actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, almost had 1,000 yards receiving.
Now, I'm not telling you he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer here or be a starter in the Pro Bowl, but he does do some things that help your team, and he's a valuable asset, and if he just does a little bit more consistently, you could throw Larry Donnell into that category too.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, these guys both have it in them to be weapons.
And I think what hurts Reuben Randall is just getting off the line of scrimmage. Because I think if he can get some separation, I think that the ball will come his way a little bit more.
He doesn't have that, like, quick twitch to break that bump and run.
And I don't want to compare that, you know, nothing the way that Beckham gets off the line of scrimmage. That's just insane.
That's unfair.
But, I mean, he's got more of a longer stride.
Mm-hmm.
Where those like Cruz and Beckham are just quick, you know, just that stutter step go. He makes some big plays, big catches, and you know, you're right. If we didn't have Reuben Randall, we would it'd be pretty thin. Slim pickings.
And look, and the Giants, when he becomes a free agent, they'll make a decision on him. They'll put a price point on, decide what they're going to do. And when they do, we'll figure out exactly what's going to happen with Reuben Randall. Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Abdul, Minneapolis, what's up, pal?
Getting cold up there?
I have a couple of things to say. Hopefully, I have enough time to discuss all of them. The first thing, I think that one of the major issues with our offense is our rhythm. And it seems like we get out of it, you know, I think the main reason is this rotation of running backs. In no other position in football would you rotate players in and out like we do in our offense.
They do it on the defensive line all the time. So,
and linebacker, for that matter.
I think offense is more of a rhythm. It's more choreographed than defense. I think the defense is more react. You kind of just, you know, you're physical. But offense is more you know, it's choreographed. You know, you hit the pole, the plays would go that. It's more choreographed, and I think that switching running backs in and out is kind of ruining that rhythm. That's just my my observation. In the offenses that are running well, they don't have a rotation like that. They have one or two backs that go in and they run.
Well, Abdul, in general, I think you're right. But if you also look back at the Patriots in the last 4 or 5 years, they bring running backs on and off the street on a weekly basis.
Okay.
The different guys getting 20 carries every week.
The Patriots are a different team. I don't think you'd look at the Patriots as the norm. You know, the way they run things, I don't think you compare anything like them. You know, if you could, more teams would be doing what they do.
All right, Abdul, then fine. That's fine. Abdul, that's fine. Point number two, how'd you like the Giants in 2008 when they split the carries three ways between Derek Ward, Bradshaw, and Brandon Jacobs on the best rushing team
Ward
in football?
Ward was used much less than the other two, right? It wasn't like it was a three-man rotation like now. Now you have backs getting eight carries apiece. It wasn't like that with Ward.
Who do you want to see back there?
I would either Jennings or Darkwell. And the guy from number 34,
Vereen.
So either Jennings or Darkwa. I think Jennings right now is more of what he could do, but I don't think Williams is the answer. I think Williams should be the if someone gets hurt, he'll come in. But it should be one of those three. It should be either Jennings or Darkwa. Definitely
referring. Well, Abdul, last week Andre Williams only got, what, three carries? So it's not like his two or three carries is going to destroy the rhythm of the other backs.
As you said, last week we had 15 plays in the second half, so I don't think that's a good
That's fair.
So I think this coming week. Okay, my second point is I'm kind of nervous how we're going to make Drew Brees look this week. We've made less than average quarterbacks look great, and now we're facing a great quarterback, and I think we could win this game, but the way our defense, gives quarterbacks time to throw, he could just carve us up. So hopefully we show up and we rectify that huge problem in our defense.
Well, Abdul, the one really piece of good news this week, and this is in response to a Twitter question too, is that the Saints' offensive line has struggled this year. They have some holes there. Teron Armstead's very good, but they do have some vulnerabilities, so maybe the Giants with some blitzes can get some pressure this week.
I hope so because, as I said before, as you see, we made bad quarterbacks look good this year, and good quarterbacks have beaten us. So hopefully we'll switch that around. Okay, my third question is, hopefully you guys know this. Did we change scouting of the scouts when we switched from Arcozy to Reese?
No, most of the scouting staff stayed the same. I mean, there's always some turnover here or there, but for the most part, the scouting department moved over. Because remember, Jerry Reese was Ernie Accorsi's college scouting director. So he had a great relationship and basically ran the scouting department when Ernie was here. So he kept most of those guys on.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
The reason I ask is it seemed like once Reese took over, we became more proficient in finding our talent on the outside. And before, it seemed like we got our talents on the inside. Does that make any sense?
Well, Abdul, here's the thing. I mean, the scouts can come in with as many reports as they want. In the end, it's going to be the guy making the pick that's going to make the decision. You know what I'm saying?
Who's pushing the buttons. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess Reese has a better eye on our outside talents than the end. Because it seems like since he's taken over, the interior of our team has gone down. But we've gotten much better on the receiver.
Well, Abdul, I think part of it, too, is that he simply made more picks with the skill position guys, especially receivers. I mean, since Jerry Reese has gone here, they've selected Akeem Nicks very high. They selected Reuben Randall very high. They selected Odell Beckham very high. I mean, those are two first-round picks and one second-round pick. You throw in two third-round picks, Barden and Jernigan. So they've used a lot of those higher selections on skill position guys, which is why I think you see more of those guys sticking.
Would you say that Reese prefers or he kind of leans towards us from the interior as his preference of high picks?
I would. I think it's just the way the Giants go. I think they like.
Well, and I do think of it this way, too. The way the NFL goes now, Abdul, is that it's a very passing-oriented skill position league. And I think with the rule changes, you need to have those types of dynamic players. And quite frankly, those are the best guys on the board.
That's the reason why I was talking over you. But I think Dallas proves that that's wrong. I think, we all know that. Anyway, that was just my question. So,
all right, thanks, Abdul.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one. It's a nice call. He leaves time for the other guys. You know what I mean? I don't know.
But remember, the last 2 years, they've also drafted two offensive linemen in the first round and one offensive lineman in the second round. So,
yeah, I mean, I just think the way that the Giants – I think the Giants like those defensive linemen. I mean, you can't have enough of those guys.
Remember, Linval Joseph, second-round pick. Jason Pierre-Paul, first-round pick. Prince Amukamara, first-round pick. So they've taken plenty of good defensive players over the years. Aaron Ross, you go back, first-round pick.
Webster.
Kenny Phillips, second-round pick. I forgot Steve Smith, by the way, wide receiver, second-round pick. I forgot about him.
Corey Webster.
That goes back to Ernie's time, though.
That was? Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they should – I mean, they got to get some pass rush, man.
Here's the bottom line. I say this about the draft all the time. You pick the best guy. If you pick a good player, you're going to figure out a way to use him, and he's going to help your football team.
And exactly.
Bottom
and
line.
You can't go down the draft board and say, these are our needs, and we're only going to pick these if the need player is there.
I mean, everyone was screaming about Beckham two years ago, and how'd that work out?
Worked out pretty good. And, you know, the guy that Dallas got, and you know, that they compare, like, oh, they got the lineman, we got the receiver. They're both Pro Bowl players. So
and
I mean,
I'm sure both teams are thrilled with the guys that they have.
Question.
Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not a perfect science. And we certainly, John and I, don't have a lot of the answers to a lot of that stuff because that's kind of out of our realm.
The amount of tape,
expertise.
The amount of tape that the scouts and Jerry Reese and Mark Ross and all those guys watch on these college prospects. We have a full-time jobs that are and is not watching tape. That's what their full-time job is. So they see these guys a lot more than we do.
Yep.
But
break them down.
Look, the bottom line though, when you'll be line man as your quarterback, you're in a passing league. You want to pick weapons on the outside that you can use. You want it. And you know what? If you go back over the years, Jeff, there aren't many teams that have won Super Bowls, you know, without superior offensive weapons. I mean, the Seahawks are an exception to the rule.
And there haven't been too many teams that have won Super Bowls without superior, excellent quarterbacks either.
Absolutely. Justin, North Carolina, you're next. What's going on, pal?
Hi, Justin.
Justin, going once. Justin going twice. Line four, Justin is sold. Justin calls back. We'll put you right back up. That means Charlie's up next in Portland, Maine. What's going on, Charlie?
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good to talk to you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good. I'm good. Hey, I think the Big Easy is going to become the Big Hurt this week.
For who? Let me guess.
I don't think.
Captain Positive back in the house.
Well, we haven't been able to beat anybody down in New Orleans for, I don't know. Jeff, were you around when you ever beat them down the Dome? I don't think so.
Nope. But, I mean, I even played in the game where Joe Horn threw the cell phone out of the goalpost.
I forgot you were in that game.
It's a hard place.
Yes.
Hey, and I got to say one thing. You know, John, you were saying, like, what happened to our run defense? I don't know.
And you know what, Charlie, I will preempt you here because there were four people on – there were four people on Twitter that were asking, and I'll ask the question for you, just to make you. I'm not sandbagging you here. So Charlie's going to ask this question, and the people on Twitter are going to ask it too. And I'm going to ask Jeff because he's the former player. Jeff, is it Marcus Kuhn's fault that the Giants' run defense has been bad the last 3 weeks?
No.
Why?
He just came back. And we got
because it's not one player that makes a difference on that whole defensive line. There you go. You can't pin on one guy. Seriously.
Every beat writer, analyst in the NFL has said Marcus Kuhn is terrible, and nobody on the Giants coaching staff has the eyes to see it. I don't get it. Nix is better. Ellis is better. You know, but I'm leaving it there because the Giants coaches have a big friggin' blind spot about Kuhn, and that's the way it is. So I'm going to give that up.
All right.
But anyway.
Good. I'm glad you're giving that up.
The running back situation. You know, did you watch the Patriots game last night? Did you see how they utilized Lewis? They had him outside on wide receiver. They put him in the slot. Why don't we use Vereen that way? We know, especially since
Charlie, what games are you watching?
We're not utilizing him. We're not putting him out on wide receiver. We're putting him out as a wide receiver.
He lines up in the slot. I've seen him on the outside as a Z. I've seen him all over the place. Yeah, we have. Just not as often as you think.
Well, not very much.
No, well, I mean, but you said, why don't we utilize him? Well, I guess utilize is a strong word. Like, we have to do it all the time.
And the other thing about four running backs, you can't use four running backs.
I don't think they're going to use four running backs. I think one of those guys is going down, meaning he's not going to play a lot.
And
All right, not going to play. That's better.
That didn't mean going down like getting hurt. Going down like he's not going to play a lot.
I know. That's what I'd say. Williams is a guy who needs 20 touches a game, 25, and he would be a really good back to get in a rhythm, wear down the defense. But he's never going to get that many snaps in this offense. So, to me, he's the guy you got to sit. It seems like Dacqua can come in and have 10 snaps, and he'll be effective. So, that's the dude you got to go with in Jennings. And whichever one has got a hot hand, leave him in. Don't take him out like they did with Dacqua last week. Leave him in. So, and the only other thing I got to say is, can this coaching staff tell the tight ends to chip block on people? We got Cameron Jordan, who is their best pass rusher. He's a great pass rusher. They move him all over the place. He's going to be lined up against Newhouse. And if they don't put a chip block on him to help Newhouse, it's going to be a long day for Eli. So I don't know. Why don't they do that? I haven't seen that very often.
It'd be a good idea if they were to put maybe an Andre Williams or Whitlock out there and try to, have him help a little chip, huh? Put those guys?
Whoever,
right?
Help
somebody.
Guys out. Somebody, for God's sake. But anyway, guys, have a good weekend. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I just don't see us beating New Orleans.
We hope you're wrong too, Charlie, as
Me
usual.
Too. I hope so. Take care.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
thank you. Love Charlie. Charlie's getting a little more positive than he was, a couple months ago.
4-3. I hope he get a little bit more positive. Though Charlie, I'm telling you, and where is it?
Charlie's got to be somewhere up there.
Now,
Charlie's
up
Charlie
here.
In Portland, right
here
there.
We go. April 14th, Charlie in Portland, Maine, predicted 8-8. But at least, what the heck does that say? I think that says Eli will get sacked at least 40 times this year. That's not going to happen.
Well, we hope. He must have been, seven times maybe now?
I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Got a long ways to go to get to 40 or 50. So, but prediction 8-8, maybe that makes the playoffs. Who knows? But, when you talk about this team and going forward, they win this game. They're 5-3. They can just to continue to build upon this. Their next division game isn't for a while. I mean, you got
after
New
the
Orleans,
bye, the
Tampa,
Redskins.
New England, bye, then Washington.
On the 29th, that's Thanksgiving weekend.
Another month. So, yeah.
We only have two division games left. That's the amazing
thing. Well, you remember, this was kind of an anomaly. This year, we had them all at the beginning. Remember, the league always wanted them at the end.
Yeah, they only have one Redskins game, one Eagle game left. One last game in November. The other one is the last game of the year in January. And the playoffs might come down to that last game against Philly, too. Could you see that week both teams head into that game at like 8-7 or 9-6?
Yeah, I think I just think all these teams are, unless somebody goes, I think if somebody goes on a winning streak, kind of like the Giants did, they won three in a row. I think that's all that somebody's going to win. I don't think it's going to be it's going to be a roller coaster.
And I think the best thing that could happen is if you could see the Cowboys lose these next two or three games and get them out of the picture.
Exactly.
Because the last thing you want to see is Bryant's going to come back this week. You get Romo back in a couple weeks.
And
that team starts to roll a little bit.
Yep.
They have a really tough schedule now, so it's going to be really tough for them. But if you're the Eagles or if you're the Giants, that's the last thing you want to see. You want to get the Cowboys out now, make them have to win six straight or seven straight just to have a chance to make the playoffs, which likely isn't going to happen with their schedule. So if you're schedule watching, that's what you should be keeping an eye on. 201-939-4513. And, guys, I saw your questions on Twitter about Kuhn. I was going to ask Beagles about it, but I waited for Charlie to call, and I'm sure he was going to bring it up.
I know it's a bone of contention for a lot of people, but, again, I just – the guy's a big dude, and I think that, he occupies space in there, but they're just – I don't know. I don't know anything about Knicks. I really don't. I haven't seen him. I know he was a good high draft pick and came over from Houston and all that kind of stuff. But, I don't know. I can't answer it. And I don't know if you can, John, but I just don't. I don't know.
201-939-4513. That's the type of analysis we pay you the big bucks for, Feagles.
Yeah, I just listen to me. I think that, he does a nice job in there, but sometimes it's like you look at the statistics, there's nothing there. But a lot of times stats don't tell the whole story, and I just think the defensive coaches see something in there that maybe we don't. I was telling Lance this last week. I'm trying to find the stat on here, but the Giants have the second toughest schedule going forward.
Is that true?
In the National Football League.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be on here, but it was last week. So, yeah.
In terms of, like, current records of teams or
right
records
there.
Of teams last
toughest
year?
Toughest remaining strength of schedule this season.
Giants now have the second toughest after the Vikings. Giants, yep. Their remaining teams on their schedule have a combined record of 34-23 for a winning percentage of nearly 60%, which would put them as the second hardest schedule after the Vikings. And the Cowboys, by the way, are fourth in that list, as I mentioned.
We were just talking about that. You said they have a tough one.
Where are the Eagles?
The Eagles are really down here.
Oh, wow. They're 23rd? Let me look at the Eagles' schedule.
You know?
Hold on.
So, I mean, and then Washington is kind of – Washington's even.
Nah, they're toast. They're not winning anything.
Well, we got to look at them still. I mean, they are in the division. They're 12.
I probably shouldn't say that. I'll get in trouble.
So 2, 12, 23. Actually, I forgot about Dallas. So Giants are at 2, Dallas is at 4, and then you got 12 and 23. So.
Waiting for the Eagles schedule.
Look at the Buccaneers,
here.
Huh? How about that?
What do they have?
First pick in the NFL draft.
They have the third toughest schedule the rest of the way. Well, do you know why? They haven't played the Panthers yet, and they haven't played the Falcons yet. So just those two games on the schedule will make that, you know, that much tougher, I think. Wow, this Eagles website is really slow, I must say. All right, I'll bring it up. I want to go through it. But first, let's go back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Armando is down in Florida. Armando, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, pal?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's good, man? I just wanted, you guys are talking about running backs, and I'm not really in favor of Andre Williams. He's not really a shifty back. You know, you got your shifty backs like Le'Veon Bell, Deion Lewis.
Andre Williams is a power back, straight ahead type of rusher.
Yep.
Yeah, and to me, he just runs straight into his blocks. He runs straight into these guys, and. To me, I like Barkley. He's a really shifty back to me. I really like him.
He's the flavor of the week.
He is that.
I want to talk about J'Ron Hosley. Now, if I'm not mistaken, if you guys remember that Dallas game, Matt Kapsa threw a ball like a punt.
It was a duck.
Yeah,
it was like a punt.
He threw a punt where somebody's back there could have threw a steak on the grill and had time to cook it. But, yeah, it was terrible. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is that even all that time that the ball was in the air, J'Ron Hosley still didn't look back to turn around and look for the ball. Now, is it just me or this guy is like playing like a college player?
Now, Armando, I'll say this. I think Hosley's done a pretty good job since he's come in there for DRC early in the year and Prince now, and hopefully this will be the last week he starts. Hopefully Prince can get back on the field next week. I think he's stayed with receivers pretty well, but I agree. I think if there's one thing he has to work on, it's probably his ball skills. He doesn't do a good job of turning his head once the ball's in the air. And watching that play over again on replay, if Terrence Williams just uses his noodle a little bit and takes a step to the left as J'Ron Hosley runs at him full speed, they could have drew a pass interference penalty.
Even with
that
type of throw, it's still there.
Absolutely.
Well, not only that, too, but if you actually look at that play, though, if Brandy Merriweather wasn't there to intercept that ball, Terrence Williams actually had a chance to come back for the ball and actually catch the ball. It was J'Ron Hosley was just running full speed that he just jumped up in the air without even turning around and looking for the ball and just kind of jumped right past him. So, I really like Trevor Wade. I really like him a lot. He not only does he look for the ball, but he's a really good tackler.
And he's a veteran. He's been around a while. So, you know, he is a good player, and Giants are lucky to have him. They really are.
A lot of people think Trevor Wade's like a rookie. This is, I think, his fourth year in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Hosley has done, like John said, I think he's done an admirable job filling in. I mean, the one game he came in and basically started the game after, you know, the DRC went out on the second play.
Yeah.
And I think he's reliable. Obviously, there's certain weaknesses in everybody's game that we can point out. But as far as a whole, I know that Coach Spagnuolo likes him. I think they feel confident. I think he feels confident this year now that he's playing the position that I think he wants to play, and that's that outside corner rather than the slot that they had him in the last couple of years.
But I'm pretty sure that our coaching staff, like the DB coach, I'm pretty sure if they're coaching the Mukamura, if they're coaching DRC like that, then why isn't that coaching this guy to look for the ball? I mean, you only see good cornerbacks looking for the ball.
Armando, you can coach it all you want. If the player doesn't do it, you can drill it into their head a million times. The player's got to go out on the field and execute it. I can bring a guy off the street, tell him how to play cornerback properly. It doesn't mean he's going to do it once he gets out there.
I can't tell you how many times I've sat in meetings where the coaches have said this and this and this, and literally 30 minutes later, you get on the field, and the guy does exactly opposite of what the coach just drilled in his head for 30 minutes.
And that's what separates the great players from the players that don't make it.
So,
and
I know
it's as much
it's
mental as it is physical.
It's frustrating to watch it.
So do you honestly think J'Ron Holmesley is going to really make it? Like, honestly? Like,
well, what do you mean make it?
That even coaching can't fix a problem like that when, you know, good cornerbacks actually look for the ball. Do you think he's going to make it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of good cornerbacks in this league that don't make interceptions. You know, they're good cover guys, and they make plays, and they're good tacklers. And, you know, but the guys that have, you know, every one of those skill sets are the good ones. You know, the Darrell Revis's of the world, and, you know, these guys that can just – there's not a lot of those, you know.
Thank you, Armando. Appreciate the call.
And I think as far as make it, I think that he's done the job that the Giants wanted him to do coming out of training camp this year, because honestly, there's a lot of people that didn't think he'd be on this team this year.
You know, we had Jason in Denmark on the phone. I was going to go to him next. I went to Armando by accident, and then he dropped off.
Oh,
so,
man.
So, Jason,
if you're out there,
if you call back, I will put you right up, all right? I'm going to give you a second. I'm going to do this read with Jeff. We're going to get the business out of the way. If you can call back within the next 30 seconds or a minute, you will go right up, I promise you, and hopefully your telecom folks up in Denmark won't kill you too much on the phone bill. All right?
Are we recapping?
We are going to recap. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. All right, first, very quickly, Jeff, and I'm going to do this very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
Last week, you did okay.
Good.
You didn't have any bombs, but you didn't come away with the big money either.
Okay.
Carson Palmer, 275, 2 touchdowns. Good job. Adrian Peterson, 100 all-purpose yards, only 14 points. For all the money. Then Antonio Brown, got to be a little disappointed.
I am disappointed. That guy's a stud. He should be making me money every week.
I was saying, if you're going to spend big money on these guys, you want a little bit better results.
Exactly. So that's why this week I fine-tuned my picks this week, okay? So here's my week 8. Can you believe week 8?
Don't get me
week
started.
Week 8.
And if you got the preseason, that's 12 weeks out of
20. Unbelievable. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. So here is my week 8 lineup, folks. So starting on the QB side, I got Matthew Stafford. All right, he's simply because he has a ton of weapons. Hopefully this week is his week. Stafford and the Lions are facing the Chiefs, who give up the most touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. Hopefully Stafford and Megatron can finally connect this weekend and help my team out.
You're going to the Stafford.
Stafford is listed at $5,800 and projected to score 17.5 points.
Jeff George wasn't available.
Who's that?
Jeff George wasn't available.
Jeff George, one of my teammates at one point in my career.
When were you with Jeff George?
The Eagles. With the Eagles back in the day.
Was he as much of an interesting personality as people? Okay.
Yes. Yes. I wonder what he would have done in fantasy football.
Oh, you know?
He would have put up some big numbers in fantasy football.
He would have.
All right, so running back. My running back this week is Justin Forsett. Forsett and the Ravens have been struggling this year. As you know, I think they've only won one game, right? And I think this big problem is their QB. With that being said, I see Forsett getting plenty of attempts this week. Also, it doesn't hurt that the Chargers, who they are playing this week, give up the second most opposing yards to running backs.
Hey, you're taking a shot of Flacco on that statement.
I am, because he just really hasn't done much this year. Forsett's listed at $6,100, projected to score 15 points. So look for him to get the ball and maybe get a little more than 15. That would be good. And the wide receiver, Tedjen Jr., Panthers are on fire. Okay.
Canada's not even to throw the ball to besides Gant. So it makes sense.
They're playing the Colts. The Colts are struggling. Struggling defense. And Cam Newton at the helm. How can you go wrong? I mean, I think a lot of people have to understand that the Carolina Panthers are for real now.
How about the job Dave DeGettleman's done down there with the Panthers?
How about it, right? And make some nice trades. And he sent a couple players to the Giants that we appreciate. So I expect Jen to get a lot of looks this week and should outscore his projected points. Jen is listed at $3,400 and projected to score 11 points. I mean, 11 is... I need to get him for like 15 or 18 points, somewhere around in there. So listen, Matthew Stafford, Justin Forsett, Ted Ginn Jr., and there you go. There's my DraftKings lineup for this week. It's week 8. To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today.
All right, everybody, we got 4 calls. We got 9 minutes. And if Jason in Denmark wants to try to give us a ring back after we get one of these calls off the line, we'll try to sneak in to Jason. But right now they're all full. Jeff in Rhode Island's up first. Jeffrey?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hi,
wonderful.
Jeff.
Happy Friday.
Happy Halloween, okay?
Yeah.
Tough game coming up Sunday. I know traditionally we haven't done very well at the Superdome. I called the other day and I made a mistake. I believe we're 3-7 there over the years. So,
by the way, Jeff, I got an interesting stat the other day, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but I want to give it to you. I don't have the actual record in front of me, but since 1980, the Giants have the best record in domes of any other team in the National
Just
Football
not
League.
In that dome?
Yeah.
other than the Superdome.
Yeah. Different team, different mindset. I think this is a good matchup for both teams. It's going to be a good game. I really do.
The Saints are a very dangerous team, but hopefully we'll be getting some reinforcement back in the next few weeks. And I'm really pulling for JPP. I really hope he can come back and be a very productive player for us.
Yeah, and they need him.
We all make mistakes in life, and he deserves something out of this. And I hope he can do it. And who knows? Maybe a month from now, he could be our best defensive lineman. Who knows?
That's what they're excited about, having him back, and they get the – did they get a 2-week exemption for him, John?
JPP? Yeah.
So they get two weeks to get him ready to go. And
I'll tell you what. Based on what I've heard about how he's looked at practice this week, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the field next week against Tampa.
It's great, though.
If we can get him going and, God willing, Victor will come back and be a real asset for us and Beatty, and the second half could be looking a whole lot different a little ways down
Jeff,
the line.
You know so what? What do we I'm always say in football? Out. We always say, it's not about September and October. It's all about November and December. I mean, those are when you need to make some hay. You get your team healthy, okay? You start rattling off some wins, and you set up yourself for December football, and then push it to the end. And you never know when things can happen. You get hot.
Yep.
We've seen it happen
before.
Just one
other thing, Johnny. I've been talking up Dakwa for weeks ago. So I'm glad the kid's in there. And go Giants.
Thank you, buddy.
201-939-4513. Let's be quick on these calls. Want to get everybody in. Drew in Virginia. Drew.
Drew. Got to keep it short, Drew. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, it's going to be short anyway. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing well, Drew.
Hey, yesterday, I called in, man, which was a surprise. I don't normally call in those shows, but I called in yesterday, man. I just wanted to kind of clarify something. Yesterday I called in, I kind of laid out our Giants defense. I guess I should have said that our pass rush is horrendous, because the team is kind of, the defense is kind of an enigma. We got the turnovers and everything, but we just have absolutely no pass rush. And from that standpoint, I don't want to be, I guess I'll be Captain Obvious here. It's going to have to be our offense that wins this game.
Well, I think you're right. I think offensively this Giants is going to try to come out. They're going to run the football with whoever. And time of possession and mistake-free football can do it. I think the Giants' defense, we've seen what they can do lately, and it's not much defending the run. And they don't do a great job defending the pass. And if they can't get any pressure on the quarterback, especially who you're going up against, Drew Brees, he's going to shred you.
You just painted a hell of a glum picture there, Fiegels.
I'm telling you, my point is with Drew, I agree with you. The offense has got to win this game.
That's the thing because,
I agree.
We've seen, you might say that Jeff is painting doom and gloom, but he's actually pointing out what we've all seen. It's no secret that there's no pass rush there with the Giants. And so from that standpoint, you stand back there and give Drew Brees time, he's going to murder us. So, the offense has got to win the game. At any rate, man, that was basically – I had some other stuff, but I just call in next week after this game.
Thank you, Drew. Have a good Halloween, man.
Appreciate it, man. Derek, Atlanta, you're up next. Hey.
Hey, Jeff, John. Jeff, got a quick question for you, John. A quick question to the Draft Queen, DraftKings question. So, Jeff, how come Brad Wing punted so bad in that Eagles game?
You know what? I just think that he had a lot of
Sproul.
I think he's a young guy, and I think that he was just, you know, they were talking about all week trying to not kick the ball to Sproles, and I just think that he got out of his, you know, his routine a little bit, just thinking too much. In football, it's a game of reaction. When you go on the field and you think too much, I always say you think long, you play wrong. Okay? So the longer you think
like
about
that.
Things, you play wrong.
And
just
that's
go
why
out there
Jeff never had a problem. There's not a lot of deep thinking going on right
now.
No,
you just
folks.
Go out there and you rip it, man. So I think there's a young guy out there that just was just having
well,
a little problem.
He had some really bad punts in that Eagles game, and I was kind of wondering how did he fly off the rail like that. But, John.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that Reuben Randle could play slot?
He does play slot.
Now, Reuben Randle, he's not.
Okay.
Now, he played slot a little bit in the spring and in the summer. Reuben Randle, to me, would not be your traditional, you know, Wes Welker type of Wayne Corbett slot receiver where he's quick and he makes a lot of these moves, like shallow crosses. He's more of that bigger possession slot receiver who would run a lot of slants, you know, use his body to shield defenders from the football. If you want to put him in that role, I think he'd be okay at that.
Yeah, I think he'd be best over there. Why do you think that they're using more of Miles White rather than Jeremy Davis? Better player or?
I just think it's a little more experience.
Honestly, I think with his time in Green Bay, I think he's a more polished wide receiver, probably knows the system a little bit better.
Okay. I got a Draft Queen question for Jeff. I need a 4,000, under 4,000, 4,000 and under flex.
Eagles, what do you got?
No, he meant to say John. Back. You meant to say John on the draft.
I don't have the DraftKings values in front of me. I can't give you a good answer. I would have to look it up.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can, let me know.
All right, we'll do, dude. I appreciate the call.
No problem.
All right, you guys have gone through these real quick. Excellent job. Dre in Atlanta, you're up next. We stick down south. What's up, Dre?
Hey, what's going on, John? Hey, Jeff, how's everything going?
Doing well,
good,
man.
I'll make this real quick. I was going to jump on the Bash Marcus Kuhn bus, but nah, I'm going to leave that alone. That bus is coming and going.
We've already been down that road today.
Been down that road already.
And yeah. But Dre, the bus is full.
I know.
Yeah,
right.
Hey, we'll get
I
you underneath.
That ticket, though, but I will
no,
say
you're
this.
Underneath.
This is probably my only issue with the pass rush. If you can't get to the quarterback, put your hands up. We're going against Drew Brees. He's,
good point.
I won't call him diminutive, but he's short.
That's good point.
So if you put his hands
great
up
point.
And – you're going to throw the ball right into your hands and chances knock the ball up and get an interception. So instead of trying over the bull rush, put your hands up. And we put our hands up at the line, we limit his vision and his passing lanes, and it makes it difficult. You know, what made us so successful in that Super Bowl run is the fact that even if we couldn't get there, we put our hands up. JPP always put his hands up. Same thing with OC. You know, and if we put your hands up on the line, we can do it. But I would like to see bring Kerry Wynn inside. Let Marcus Kuhn rotate out with Wynn, but let Wynn start and against the run. You know, we'll have more success at that. In reference to the running backs, real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Real quick. I'm not on the dark wild bus. He did good, but I just think it's unfair to Andre Williams that, you know he's a rhythm back and you're not giving him enough touches for the rhythm. And half the times when he touched the ball, you had defenders in the backfield, so it makes it look like he doesn't know how to run, you know, read the blocking. I wouldn't necessarily say that's his fault, but the coaches will figure out. That's why they get paid the big bucks. Talk
thanks,
to guys
Dre.
Next week. Have a good one.
Appreciate it, man. Very succinct. Good job out of Dre. All right, we got one more. AJ, South Carolina. AJ, real fast, one question or comment, and then we're out.
I think Larry Donnell need to show on Sunday.
I think the Giants agree, AJ. And thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. And look, I think the tight end battle this week is going to be interesting. It's kind of amazing that we haven't mentioned either Willie Snead's name in this show, Brandon Cook's name in this show, or Benjamin Watson's name in this show.
Yeah, those guys, they got some good weapons over there.
Not to mention, Mark Ingram is 29 receptions out of the backfield, by the way. Don't forget about him.
And he's a power back.
Correct.
I mean, that guy can run.
And I'm gonna steal Dre's point on the knocking passes down for the radio pregame on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, and I think that that's probably been said in this building a couple times this week.
You think?
Every week, because, I mean, that's kind of a...
You haven't seen many batted passes down at the line this year. You've seen a couple
here and
there.
Well, we haven't seen many quarterbacks that we played lately that are 5'10" or 11, you know, whatever he is. What's he, 6 foot?
Yeah, I guess guys going out of the pocket, you're going to get less deflections, right? And Kaepernick gets out of the pocket.
But he does make a good point. You know, if you can't get the pressure there, then make a play with your hand.
I guess Bradford had a couple balls knocked down a couple weeks ago, right, against Philly?
Yeah, you know who knocks a lot of balls down is Jenkins.
And Hankins does too, actually.
Yep, both of those guys. That's an incomplete pass. And, you know, sometimes those knockdown passes can turn into interceptions. You know, they knock down, hit a guy's shoulder pads and, you know, Brown. And, I didn't mean to beat up, you know, gloom and doom here with this game, but I really believe that the Giants offense has got to win this game. I think they've got to come out and be very balanced in their attack this week and really, you know, protect the football as always, but I think they got to establish the run and stick with it and try to get some resemblance and move forward in this running game. They had a great week last week. They've been building up. They got to continue to have it this week. Defensively, do something to keep Drew Brees in that pocket and knock some ball down, get some pressure on him, because he is lethal when you give him time. I mean, he's got the weapons, the guys that we just mentioned. Snead is another one. You gotta be careful with this guy, especially with the way the Giants cover some of these guys. It could be deadly.
Fagles, we'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you, Johnny.
Nice short pregame show on Sunday, 11:30, 10:30 Central Time. Jeff Fagles, myself, Paul Dottino, Lance Meadow will take you through the pregame show. Then Fagles back on the postgame show this week on the road. Bob Pop and I in the locker room, and Lance Meadow will anchor us from start to finish. Giants and Saints on Sunday on WFAN. Make sure you tune into that. And then, of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live returns on Monday at noon. This guy and Lance Meadow will take your calls, reacting to the Giants game against the New Orleans Saints. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
See you then. Have a good Halloween. And don't eat all your candy tonight. Save some for game day.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!